So Dr. Mills, one of the things that you all discovered is that gratitude can have a tremendous impact on our health. And you noticed that also, I mean, being even more specific, that it can have an impact on the heart, even when people have had problems with their heart health.
That's right. We were sitting around in our lab meeting a couple of years ago, and we do study people who have what's called heart failure, where the heart itself has sustained some kind of damage and it's not working as well as it could be. And someone mentioned this concept of the grateful heart, and what does that really mean? And can a grateful heart be a bit of a healthier heart? So we started doing some research in this area. And the first thing we did is we gave a standardized gratitude questionnaire to about 190 patients coming through the clinics. And we found that those patients who did have more gratitude as a trait, part of their personality, they also had much better mood. They had less depressed mood, which tends to increase over time with heart failure. They reported sleeping better than the others. They had more physical energy. And we also looked at some biomarkers in their blood and found that those who had more gratitude also had less lower levels of these biomarkers, which were indicative of less generalized inflammation in the body. So these were very exciting findings, but they were correlational, meaning we couldn't say whether it was the higher gratitude, for example, that led them to feel less depressed, or is it simply because they were less depressed and they felt more gratitude. You can't infer the causation. So we decided to do another study, and this was more of an intervention study where we've had some of the patients journal on gratitude for several months. And journaling on topics of gratitude each day is a way to cultivate gratitude in our psyche, in our lives, in our heart, actually. So we instructed a group of patients each day, sit down with a journal and write down two or three things that you are grateful for. And it could be anything. It could be the weather. It could be their spouse, family, their home, a great meal they had, a sunset. It doesn't matter. They were free to write whatever they wanted to. And we compared after 2 months those patients who had did the journaling versus those who just did their normal, usual care. And we found, of course, that they had increased ratings of gratitude at the end of the couple of months, but they also had improvements just in their sense of mood and also less inflammation in the blood and also just better tone in the heart itself in terms of the aspects of the nervous system that regulate the heart. So it seemed that by journaling on gratitude and musing about it more and beginning to see the world more gratefully, that it did have a bearing on the health and well-being, not only of their mind, but of their physical body as well.
That is truly amazing. And when you compare them, as you mentioned, to those who did not journal their gratitude.
Yes.
Not as great an impact?
No. Those who didn't do journaling at all just continued in their normal course of their disease, which didn't have a lot of change over a two-month period. We are in the midst of another study now where we will compare journaling on gratitude to another type of journaling, which is just journaling on everyday events. So at the end of the day, you pick up your journal and say, this happened to me and that happened and how you feel about it. And we're doing this study in post-heart attack patients. And we want to see if journaling specifically about gratitude in this case can help people move through the recovery process, the acceptance and recovery process following a heart attack, because it's a very, very vulnerable time for people as they reevaluate their life. Why did this happen to me? What are my next steps? Do I want to make some changes in my life? And we're conducting this study to see if enhancing gratitude can help them through this in a meaningful way.
Outstanding. Any target dates for completion of that one?
Yeah, it always depends in clinical studies of the success of recruiting patients willing to participate, but I hope within about a year we'll have enough folks in the study so that, you know, we can take a look at the data, the findings.
That's awesome. And I think it's so great, Dr. Mills, that you're looking at this from a spiritual perspective and a physical perspective and a physical perspective. And one of the points that you've made that I think can be so helpful to so many people is that we really don't need to try to embrace the notion that just because we may be genuinely spiritual people who have genuinely an intimate connection with God, that we just assume that we'll never experience physical complications, and that if we do, we will be revived and everything will be okay. That may or may not be the case, and it doesn't have a bearing or say anything about our spiritual well-being at all.
I would agree. Yes, I agree with that.
So, gratitude. Is there something, I know the answer to this question because you said it could be about anything. Anyone listening to our conversation right now, and maybe they're having some issues with the heart. Maybe they've had, whether it may have been a mild heart attack, you name it, or any other condition. See what happens if they, for 2 months, practice journaling something about for which they're grateful each day, and maybe see what impact that might have on them.
Yeah, I would feel very comfortable saying, at the very least, that through cultivating more gratitude in our lives, that our sense of peace with our day-to-day existence and living and interaction with others, as well as our relationship with our very own self, will be deepened and enhanced and enriched such that life is more enjoyable and meaningful. Whether it also influences our physical body, we're finding that in our study, but it may or may not happen all the time. But the point is that whether it does or doesn't, our everyday livingness will be enhanced and enriched. And that's, to me, the most important part of living.
I agree 100%. Ladies and gentlemen, Dr. Paul Mills is director of the University of California, San Diego Clinical Research Biomarker Laboratory. He's also co-director, as I mentioned, of the UC San Diego Clinical and Translational Research Institute's Translational Research Technology Labs. He's also serving as director of research at the Chopra Center for Well-Being. Dr. Mills, awesome study that you're doing. Thank you for following through on this to see what happens with this next development. And thank you so much for speaking with me today about the power of gratitude.
You're very welcome, Carl. I've enjoyed speaking with you. Thanks for the opportunity.
Quite welcome. You'll stay with me. I'll be right back. All right, just before we go to break, though, what did you think about that? Gratitude, journaling about it, and discovering that there were fewer biomarkers that indicated that there was inflammation in the body, even after heart failure. Gratitude. And one of the things that made the difference, people experiencing better mood, better sleep, less fatigue, their gratitude. There is power in gratitude. Again, now notice this now, better mood. We're talking about the psychological part of it. You know, when we get better sleep, that's going to contribute to better mood. It's going to contribute to better physical well-being. We'll have more energy. A lot of times when people are sleeping better, they are also increasing the chances that they can stave off becoming overweight, obese. Sometimes, and you all have heard me, many of you have heard me talk about this, they have discovered that very often when people are not sleeping correctly, in other words, they're not getting their proper amount of sleep, not getting to sleep at the right time, because we can get 7 or 8 hours of sleep, but if we're constantly going to bed much later than we should be, we're still not letting sleep work for us the way it's designed to work for us. And they've discovered that very often when people are getting their proper sleep, they're at less risk of becoming overweight. Something about not getting the proper sleep can lead or contribute to becoming overweight. Remember, the body is doing a whole lot of retooling and regrouping and recovering when we're asleep, especially when we're getting the proper sleep. Think about those cycles, the sleep cycles that the body goes through when we're sleeping. And if we're missing some of the times that the body should be going through a particular cycle because we're still up. Because remember now, the body starts slowing down in the evening time. That's why it's not a good idea to be eating 8 o'clock, 9 o'clock, 10 o'clock at night. The body is slowing down. The digestive system / metabolism is slowing down because the body is preparing itself based on the circadian rhythm, or if you will, the body clock, to go to sleep. And sometimes, very often, when we just keep staying awake and keep staying awake and keep staying awake at times that we should be asleep, we kind of throw the body off. And some of these other things that should be taking place don't take place the way they should. Adding to getting the proper rest, being grateful. And then notice that distinction again, being grateful, and then not only being grateful, but journaling, writing down what we're grateful about. Sweetness to the pie. All right, more when we come up. I'll be right back.